Let us pray and get started so we can get a lot of information in tonight. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. Give you the glory, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. One scripture before we get started. We get a foundation of scripture here again. Word of God says, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just read the first two verses of it. 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. It says, 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. We're still going through the fivefold ministry gifts, those gifts over in Ephesians 4, those are the apostles, the prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Right now we're on ministering on the teaching on the teacher and some of the things that we're going to cover. We're going to see it in the scripture. We started last week. We finished up on, I made a statement that the teacher must embrace mystery because God says for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Over in Mark chapter 4, he tells us that. And over in Matthew 13 and 11, we begin to talk about that parable of the sower. But he says for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So as teachers, we must embrace mystery. The real change that teachers need to see will come under the leadership of an apostolic art and a prophetic culture. An apostolic and prophetic culture. We make that statement because, again, you go back and you're looking at Ephesians 2:19 and 20, where we say we are no more strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We go back and look and see what happened. Tonight I talk quite a bit about supernatural. I talk about Jesus' ministry and how and his teacher. He was he was the idea teacher in the body of Christ. He wanted to show us how it was done and what happened when he taught. There was always signs and wonders and miracles took place in his ministry as he taught the kingdom of God. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And like I say, most of these scriptures you've heard, but we just could keep reiterating them and bringing them over, hashing them over in our spirits and in our souls so we can get it. Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42. And this was after the apostles had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost and the ministry of the church was beginning. And so here in Acts 2 and 42, it say, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs was done by the apostles. So we're talking wonders and signs. Just like Jesus did, the apostles come along and they followed right along in Jesus' footsteps, the same thing that he was doing when he was here. The apostles and began to do the exact same thing. And they, everywhere they went, they began to see the signs and wonders. Turn to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 12. 5 and 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord, in Solomon's porch. So many signs and wonders was wrought by the apostles. That's the part I wanted you to see. And like I say, when the teacher is under an apostolic or prophetic anointing, they should teach. You should see those signs. You should see those wonders operating in the church. In a supernatural culture, teachers will teach with supernatural results. Jesus showed us, turn to Luke chapter 4. On last week, remember we had you to meditate Jesus' ministry over in Luke 4 and 18, and he basically told you what his ministry was. He found out what his ministry was about after God had sent him to the earth. We know 1 John 3 and 8, it said Jesus was manifested in the earth to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was led after he came up out of the waters. He was baptized by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God lit on him. It said the heaven was open and God spoke to him. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And it says he went on and he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so he was full of the Holy Ghost. So sometimes when we're in our wilderness experience, we think we've done something wrong. But many times we are being led by the Spirit so God can prove us and test us and see if we will keep his commandments or not. Deuteronomy 8 tells us that. And so he said he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And then he came out after he was tempted. One of the things he said is over in Luke chapter 4, he said that after he was tempted by the enemy and he came and he defeated the enemy by what was written in the Word of God. He knew what was written. And what he said is, he said, it is written. Luke chapter 4, let's look at that. And Luke 4 and 4, and Jesus answered saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And one of them says that by Matthew 4 and 4 say by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so in order for the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, to know what has been said or what has been written, they need a teacher to teach them what has been written or what is said. That's part of that maturing in Ephesians 4 and 11. That's part of what the apostles and the teachers are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be perfecting the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it gets on down. As we get on, it says, until the unity of the faith and until we all come into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So eventually, if we continue to learn, we continue to grow, we continue to mature. We're supposed to get to that point that the same thing that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, we should be doing the exact same thing that he was doing because he was the example. He was our example, how we should operate in this kingdom. Then he came back. And like I say, once he came out of the wilderness with his experience, wilderness experience, then he found his ministry. Where did he find? He found it in the Bible. He went in the book. And as he was reading, he was studying over in Isaiah 61. He brought the book out. And he began to quote that scripture, and he found out that's what God wanted him to do. In Luke 4:18, he said, this is scripture. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. That's what God sent him to do. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so wherever he went, those are the things that he did. He preached the gospel. He told them about the kingdom of God. He healed the brokenhearted. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf, and everywhere he went. And so the people, everybody who knew him, understood what his ministry was about. Because over in Acts 10 and 38, it said they would go around. They said how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. He said healing all that was oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And so he understood his ministry. And as he understood his ministry, we who are in the body of Christ, we should begin to understand our ministry also, what God has called us to do. And we are to do the same works that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. You say, well, do I have the same tools? You have the same tools that Jesus had. Once you got filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, he say in Acts 1 and 8, he told you what you should do. He told you what was going to happen to you. While I'm here, let me go to one other scripture and let's cover us while we're here, the body of Christ. Turn to 1 John. So we can never say we don't have the tools to do the things that God has called us to do. He's given us the tools. It's up to us to develop those tools and begin to do the work that he called us to do. Over in 1 John chapter 2, most of us have heard this scripture, seen it, and read it. But I just want to put it on your notes for tonight. 1 John chapter 2. Looking at verse 20, I'm going to read verse 20 and 27. In 1 John 2, it says, but you have received an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So that's, you already got that unction. Once you got born again, you received that unction from the Holy One. And in verse 27, it says, but that anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as that taught you, you should abide in him. It does not say that you does not need a teacher. It's saying that when a teacher comes along, he points a scripture out to you. Then it's up to you to allow the Holy Spirit, that unction that is in you, to teach you that particular passage of scripture and reveal that scripture to you. If all scripture is given by inspiration of God, then we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to teach us that scripture and tell us the meaning of that scripture. And what has happened in the body of Christ, basically, we've gone through and we read scripture, we get the letter of the scripture, and then we get our own interpretation of that scripture, not allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal that scripture to us. And so, again, that's why we have so many various doctrines in the body of Christ, so many various denominations in the church. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to see this one part. Ephesians chapter 4 and 13. It say, until we all come into the unity of the faith. That's part of that. Again, that's a fivefold ministry gift. We all come into one area, into the unity of the faith as one man. And so when we get to that point, then the body of Christ can act as one man, and we can get this great commission, this job done that Jesus left back here for us to do. When Jesus taught a crowd about the kingdom, he always showed them the kingdom. So again, let's look at Luke chapter 4 again. We're going to see what the kingdom is. I think my apostle said it. He said that he was reading a book, and one of the books said the kingdom of God is a show and tell kingdom. The kingdom is a show and tell kingdom. So it shows and tell. But let's see what the scripture says about it here. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. In verse 40, it says, Luke chapter 4, verse 40, it says, and when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, brought them unto Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak for they knew that he was the Christ. And so that's, you know, that's part of his ministry. He began to show them the kingdom. Here in verse 40, he said, with many that were sick, all, he said, no, he didn't say many. He said, all they that had any sickness with divers diseases, they brought them unto Jesus, and he laid his hand on them and healed them all. And so it's not like, you know, it's not the will of God to heal. It's God's will that he want us healed. He wants you, 3 John 2 tells us exactly what God wants us. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. But that's God's best for us. But when we cannot be in health, then the healing comes. When the enemy attacks our body, then we can come to God. We can come to Jesus and he can get us healed. Turn to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, it says that, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, to be healed. So they know who to come to be healed of their diseases. Verse 18 say, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. So again, that's, you know, Jesus said, wherever he went, the people knew who he was and they was coming. We should get to that point in the body of Christ that the people should know that they can come to the church. Come to a place, and rather than first going to the hospitals, they should be able to come to, if you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're a Christian, you can come to the church and get healed of your diseases. And so, but most of us, again, I made this statement before, that once the enemy attack us with diseases, they go to the doctor and he give them a name of that disease, whether it's diabetes, whether it's cancer, whether it's high blood pressure or whatever it is. We take ownership of it. And it becomes my disease, my diabetes, my high blood pressure as a body of Christ. And when what the word of God has told us over in 53, Isaiah 53 and 4, and if you know what he's already provided for you, that he was wounded for your transgressions, he was bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace was up on him. That happened at the cross. It's a finished work. And so it's, and by his stripes, you are healed. So it's a done deal. And so what are we to do? Once he gave us an attack, then we find out what the truth of that attack is, and we put the truth on it and allow our bodies to change. We take the truth and we change a fact. In fact, the doctor say you got diabetes is not the truth, because Jesus have already healed. So, and as we are learning, as we are apostles, we're going to these new levels in the realm of the spirit. We are learning about our soul, our spirits, and our body, and we're learning how to take our soul. Now, our soul has many things to do with whether we're going to receive our healing or not. And so he's ministered on that. If you can get every chance you get, you want to hear these ministries on our soul. But I'm teaching about the teacher now. He says that he goes on to say his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were in a never-ending classroom experience wherever they went. Yeah, Jesus began to show them what was happening in the kingdom of God. Let me show you what the kingdom is. First of all, turn to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, looking at verse 20 and 21, The word of God says here, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. This is Jesus, and he's talking to the Pharisees. Those were the basic lawyers of the time. They was the one who was making sure that the law was followed. And so the Pharisees asked him, say, when the kingdom of God should come. And he asked them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So you got that kingdom. That kingdom of God is within us. And so we need to begin to draw on that kingdom that's within us so we can manifest the kingdom here in the earth realm. What Jesus was doing, he was pre-cross here. He was prophesying what was going to happen after he go to the cross. After he go to the cross and we get accept him as our Lord and Savior, then the kingdom comes on the inside of us and we can operate in the kingdom the way he mentions in the Gospels. Turn to Romans chapter 14. One other time here that we mentions the kingdom. 14 and 17. Yes, ma'am. 14 and 17. And he says, he makes a statement here about the kingdom. In 14 and 17, it says, for the kingdom of God, so that kingdom that's within you, is, he said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So he's saying it's not a natural kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom, but this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. He says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, well, we know we, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 explained that righteousness to us. You can go back and look at it. The Holy Ghost will reveal that to you. For he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. When God set his government up on his son's shoulder, he said, unto your son is given, Isaiah 96, he said, unto your son is given, and he said, of his peace there shall be no end. And then he goes on to say, he said, the zeal of the Lord should perform this. So God said, of this peace, I'm going to perform this peace for you once you come into the kingdom and become a member of the body of Christ. Then he said, and so that kingdom that's within us, he says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why is there joy in the Holy Ghost? No matter what the situation comes up in your life, you always come out to the good. If you go back and look at that scripture in Romans chapter 8 and 26, and when we begin to pray about situations, what he says is, he said, the Holy Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He says in verse 27, he said, but he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he what? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what he's doing, he's finding out what the will of God is for any situation that comes up in your life. He finds out what the will of God is, and he intercedes through us to God on our behalf for that particular situation. And then he gets down and says, and we know. So if we know that all things is going to work out to my good for us who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. We need to know that. So he said joy in the Holy Ghost. That means that I can have joy no matter what the situation look like. I'm going to have joy in those situations because of why? It's going to come out to my good. You know, it may not be what I want, but it's going, whatever comes out, it's going to be to my good, because God has now took over and God said, I want the best for you. I know the thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 say, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So that expected end is always going to be to my good for sure. And that's how God feel about us. So it goes on to say, what Jesus did before he before we got filled with the Holy Ghost, He called out some of his apostles and he sent them out, and so they could he could show them. Like I said, they was in a never ending classroom. As long as they was with Jesus, they was he was showing them how the kingdom of God operates. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 9. See, all through the Gospels, I see the same thing. Well, you know, how he taught us some other principles, but when Jesus began to do things, it was important that any sickness, any disease that was on a member was eliminated. So here in Luke chapter 9, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority." See, he didn't just give them power, but he also gave them authority to do it. And watch what he says. He say he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And so, again, that's he gave it to them. It was like when where scripture we read last week over in Numbers, when Moses called himself seven elders together. And God came down and took the spirit that was on Moses and put it on those seven elders so they could take care of the situations. Well, the same thing here. Jesus did the exact same thing. He took the God put the spirit that was in Jesus and he put it on them. So that was pre Holy Ghost coming to dwell on them. That was pre Acts 1:8. And so he had to take the spirit that was in Jesus and he had to take it and put it in them so they could do the works that he did while he was here on the earth. And so when Jesus began to prophesy and tell them over in John, he said, "The works that I do shall you do also and greater works." And then that's when he said, "Because I go unto my Father." And when he went to his Father, he knew he was going to send the Holy Spirit back to dwell on us, in us, so we could do the works that he did by being filled with the Holy Ghost and doing those same works, healing diseases, being anointed by the Spirit of God, having the kingdom of God in us so we could do the work and eliminate those diseases. And so he was showing them. And what happens is, you know, when Jesus, you know, when Jesus began to teach about the kingdom, it said the people became astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because he was teaching with authority and power. So that's the same authority that he gave to his disciples when he gave them to go out and do the same thing, that authority and that power. So basically, we have that same authority and we have that same power to do it. Having power with no authority does you no good. For instance, you got a police department and a policeman in the natural, and he have a weapon, he have a gun, he have a power to do things, but he might be out of his area where he's supposed to be working, so he don't have the authority to do what he need to do. And so, but in if he's been authorized, Ascension Parish Sheriff Department. He's been authorized by the Ascension Sheriff Department. So now he has the authority to carry out the laws, and he also has the power to carry out the laws. The red light down here at the corner at Highway 22, it has authority, but it does not have the power to carry out the law, because it cannot. If that light is red and somebody come up and they, you know, some crazy person decided they just want to run through that red light, that light does not have the power to stop that individual from going through that. It has authority to tell them to stop, but it does not have the power to do it. So what Jesus did, he said, "I'm going to give you the authority to do it and also give you the power to stop the enemy in his tracks." And so let's turn to another scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Looking at verse 16, It's all throughout the Gospels. This is what Jesus did. He said in verse 8 and 16, he said, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that was possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his word and heal all that were sick. He said, heal all. Say again, here it is again. So if you don't know that it's Jesus' will to heal, then you might think it was like that leper who came up. He said, if it be thy will, you'll heal me. And Jesus said, I will. And he said, he touched him and he was healed. So same thing. We have to know that it's God's will for us to be healed. And when we know it's his will for us to be healed, then we can receive what God has provided for us. And then verse 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which was over in Isaiah 53 and 4, saying he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So if he took all my infirmities and he bare my sicknesses, when the enemy comes along, the enemy is the one who come along and put those sicknesses on us. Why should I have to bear them? All I have to do is say, well, he've already bore those sicknesses for me. So I'm going to take it off of me and I'm going to put it on him. I'm going to let him bear them and I'm not going to worry about it. Symptoms might come, but I don't have to worry about it because Jesus have already bore my sickness. It was prophesied in the prophets. The prophets told us that what was going to happen when he come and he go to the cross. And Jesus said when he hung on the cross, he died. He was buried. He was resurrected and he was ascended to the throne of God and sat there. And before he got up, he said, the work that my Father sent me to do, I have completed that work. It's a finished work. Everything that Jesus came to the earth to do, he finished it. And when he finished it, he said, it is done. It's finished. And so now we can receive what he has provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection through the cross. So everything has been taken care of. Everything that God has for us has already been taken care of. Every sin that we've ever committed, going to commit in the future, in the past, has already been taken care of by Jesus on the cross. And so let's turn and look at another one here. Let's turn to chapter 9, looking at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I showed you the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that kingdom now that is now within you, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Again, there he is again. He didn't say some. He said every sickness and every disease among them. What's happening to us? Why we are not seeing these supernatural functionings in the body of Christ? We got the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had when he walked the earth. So it must be. We have to come to a point of maturity. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians, the Apostle Paul would begin to minister to the Galatian churches. And this is what he said. He said, now I say that the heir, we are heirs of Christ. He said, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So what he's saying, he said, we have to mature. And that's part of, we have to mature in the things of God. Until we mature, then we're going to continue to see the enemy, Satan, come in there, do what he does over in John 10:10. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. So the body of Christ, I can say 90 to 95% of the body of Christ is have some type of illness in their body. And so that means we not have matured in the things of God. We each one of you are sitting here. And so, again, we are to mature in the things of God, and we'll begin to receive everything that Jesus has provided for us. I think it's a slap in God's face for God to be done all these things for us, and we don't receive them. As that scripture Apostle Paul talks about over in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he said, he that received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. So through him, anything that the enemy can throw at us, we should be reigning over those situations. Anything that he, so reign means that I'm in charge. I'm ruling. I'm setting the guidelines. I'm telling what should happen and what should not happen. I'm telling Satan, you cannot attack my body. I'm reigning here. This is my throne. I'm in dominion here. And so since I'm in dominion here, I have a right to tell him that he has no right to attack my body. And so, he's already the defeated foe. And since he's the defeated foe, I say where he should be. Defeated foe is under my feet, and that's where we should learn to keep him under our feet. It goes on to say, he said, but is under tutors and governors, verse 2, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. And so since we are still children, we are still under the elements of the world. So somewhere along the line, the body of Christ have to grow up. We have to grow up and not be under the elements of the world. The Apostle Paul, like I said, he goes on. He teaches. He's throughout the scripture. He's just telling us who are in the body of Christ. He talks to the various churches that he's over. And that's apostolic government. And so if they follow through with his governor, what he's telling them, for instance, in Romans 12:2, he tells us, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's telling them, but God said, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that I prosper in health, even as our soul prosper. It's God's will for us to be in health and be prosperous. But if we can't get our health and not be prosperous, then we need to know that if enemy attacked us, then we need to know that we can go to the kingdom and receive our healing through the word of God. He said, even so, verse 3, even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. Redeem means that what was originally belongs to me, he brought it back to me. And it tells us that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, the things that was in the curse of the law was sickness and disease, there was lack and poverty, and there was a second death. So we've been redeemed from that. And since we've been redeemed, we should walk in our redemption. It said, to redeem them was under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons of God, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying in Abba, Father. So he did the same thing he did for Jesus, he did for us. And when he came out, came up out of that water, when he was baptized by John the Baptist over in the Jordan River, he came up out of the water and the heavens was open. We should be operating under an open heaven. It's just like Jesus did. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did God say? God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why was he well pleased? Because he knew he was going to do his will. Whatever he sent him here for the earth for, he was going to carry out his will. God said, Jesus said, I came down from heaven. John 6:30, he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he came down. So God said, that's my son. He going to do exactly what I want him to do. He's not going to do his thing. He's going to do what I want him to do. So we who are in the kingdom of God, who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God said, I got a perfect will for you. But it's not your will, it's my will, and I'm going to do my will through you. But you have to submit yourself to him in order for him to do what he need to do through you, just like Jesus did. And so he so those are the things that we have to learn. And as we grow, as we learn and mature in the things of God, God said, I got a perfect plan for you. And all you have to do is submit to yourself to it. And I will do the rest. Let me give you some more pointers here. Teachers must take the passion and the revelation of the apostles and prophets and show us how it becomes truth that we can apply to our lives. So some of the things I was just showing you in the scriptures, those are the things that our teacher is supposed to be doing to the body of Christ. They're taking the passion and revelation of the apostles and the prophets and show us how it becomes truth that we can apply. We have to be able to apply this thing. James tells us that we should no longer just be hearers of the word, but we should become doers. And so when we hear something, then we should go out and do what the word of God say. The role of the teacher is to help replicate the processes of the supernatural and then train and equip the saints to cooperate with these processes. Train and equip so we can cooperate with those processes. So again, turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read what it says over here again so we can know. And it's not just something that's coming off the top of my head, but it's something that's the word of God, how the word of God has put it to us. And then we have to receive it and do it. Ephesians chapter 4, and I read through those scriptures again. In Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 11, verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, one Holy Spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling. He said, one Lord, Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So in Jesus, Jesus took care of everything from eternity to eternity. Jesus have covered everything. He said he might fill all things. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And then he goes on to explain to us, why did he give us these fivefold ministry gifts? Not for our personal use, not for our personal gain, but it was given to us for the body of Christ so that these gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, can perfect the saints, mature the saints, get the saints to know how to operate in the kingdom so they can defend themselves in this world system. Because like I say, the scripture says that Satan walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means that if he's walking around as a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour, means that we are still children. And since we are still children, we have not matured in the things of God. He said, that person don't know, so I can devour them. You know, and when he walk up on somebody who know their rights in the kingdom, he would go past that individual and go to somebody who don't quite know or who's still immature in the things of God. And so you're sitting here and you're learning how to operate in the kingdom. And what you do as these scriptures come up, as the Holy Ghost show them to you, he said, you don't need a man to teach you. He said that that unction that's on the inside of you is going to teach you all things. So what you're going to do, you're going to see these scriptures, you're going to see them, you're going to see, I was probably about 10, 12 years ago. I was still in the school of ministry and I was working, but there was an epidemic of flu that was going around. And when that epidemic of flu was going around, I'm in contact with customers, patients all day long. They're coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out. So this particular Saturday morning, I was on my way. I was coming out of class, and I was on my way to the vehicle, and my wife was with me. And the symptoms start to come up on me. And when the symptoms start to come up on me, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm about to catch. And then before I could say catch the flu, something came up on the inside of my spirit. It got an inner voice on the inside of me. And the voice said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That means that I heard something. The Holy Spirit told me, what did Jesus do for you? He said he was wounded for your transgression. He's bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of peace was up on him. And with his stripes, you are healed. And since that day, every time he tried to take it, you know, and so before I could get that out of my mouth, I told my wife, I said, I caught him in his act. And they said, when you catch Satan in his act, then he have to restore sevenfold. And since that day, I have not been sick, because I still say, you know, my sheep hear my voice. They say I died one time, but I'm still not. But I haven't been sick. So what am I saying? I'm saying God has provided for us to have his kingdom on the inside of us. And if we hear him, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, so we can operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. And so before I was driving at that time from here, from Word Life Christian Center, which is Darrow, to Mandeville, Louisiana, which is about 80 miles away. So I was going back home. And before I got back home, my body was totally, had totally recuperated. And I was able to go to work that afternoon and work. And so he never did come back and attack me. Why? Because in that area, I had matured in that area. And since I matured in that area, then the enemy know he cannot attack me in that area. Amen. And so a successful revival culture has teachers who are perpetuating the supernatural in it. That's, you know, when I started the lesson today, I said we need to perpetuate. The supernatural has to be perpetuated. We're in a supernatural kingdom. God is a supernatural God. We came into the kingdom supernaturally when we accepted Jesus Christ, when we made that statement. In that, over in Romans 10:8-9, what did he say? He said, what said that the word is neither even in our mouth and in our heart, that's the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. You should be saved from any situation that comes up in your life. Anything that comes in your life, you can use that in the kingdom of God to get victory over those situations. Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe that God raised him from the dead. That's that resurrection power that we are talking about, that our man of God, our apostle, is talking about, resurrection power. And that's why Apostle Paul said, that I might know him, know Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. So there are tools in the body of Christ that we can use to overcome the enemy, overcome Satan in any situation, and overtake him. Let's turn to John 14, and we always need a meditation scripture so we can go back and find it. And what happened when you meditate scripture, that becomes part of you. What you're doing, you're actually changing your mind. You're changing your soul in that area. Your spirit already know what's happening to you, but your soul is now beginning to take on the attributes of God. And so now you're connecting the two together so they can connect, and your body will line up. John 14. This is, again, we may have had it before. We'll use John 14:12. And that'll be our meditation scripture for this week. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and that's Jesus speaking, is in red. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. So he was going to send you that other helper, that other comforter, to come down, to come with you, so you can do the same works that he did while he was here on the earth. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory. And we've ministered to your people, Father, and we told them exactly what you wanted me to say to them. And Father, we thank you that we are no longer just hearers, but we will now become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.